mantel wrapped in paper for his lantern. He spent his family savings on this mantel, which they heat up to give to their sick son. Their son is coughing madly, and they are hoping to give him this mantel to cure his tuberculosis. The secret ingredient of this expensive object is the blood that it is stuffed with. The blood is from a young revolutionary who was just executed that morning. The revolutionary was exposed by his own family member who pocketed a nice reward. As we know, human blood will not cure tuberculosis, but according to some Chinese myths, human blood was the for sure cure. As this family was desperate to save their only son, they took the risk and tried to save their son. Their son dies, the young revolutionary has been killed, and the family's savings are in the hands of some shady people. Lu Xun's stories become especially poignant because of their relation to current events in China. The revolutionary in the story refers to the real anti-Qing revolutionary, Qu Jin, 1879 through 1907. Her older cousin, Xu Xilin, led a failed uprising against the Qing Empire in July 1907 by assassinating the provincial governor of Anhui Province, hoping to trigger a wider rebellion. After Xu Xilin's capture and execution, Qu Jin, who was planning a coordinated attack in Zhejiang Province, was arrested at her school, tortured, and then decapitated in her hometown, Shaoxing, a few days later. The father in the story buys a mantel filled with the blood of Qu Jin. Lu Xun's father also died of tuberculosis, and as Lu Xun's family was well off, they were able to spend a small fortune treating his illness. Lu Xun's father also went to a famous traditional Chinese doctor in search of his cure, as Lu Xun describes in the preface to Neihan about his youth. For more than 4 years I used to go, almost daily, to a pawnbroker's and to a medicine shop, to hand clothes and trinkets up to a counter twice my height, take the money proffered with contempt, then go to the counter the same height as I to buy medicine for my father who has been long ill. Lu Xun actually studied modern medicine in Japan before turning to literature. He saw traditional Chinese medicine as a scam and used by swindlers to extract money from grieving family members. With today's emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine in the West, I find it ironic how anti-traditional Chinese medicine Lu Xun is. Kong Yiji. Another personal favorite of Lu Xun's stories is Kong Yiji. The main character of the story is called Kong Yiji, and hence the title. He's a scholar who never passes the imperial examination. Passing the imperial examination in China was the criterion for becoming a government official in imperial China. Young boys of well-off families would spend years learning the Chinese classics in preparation for the exam. Since learning the classics is of little practical value, they would hope to pass and become a government official. If they never passed, they were doomed to be quite useless, or having to learn a new set of skills from scratch. Kong Yiji is an example of a recurrent failure of the exam. He's lazy, and likes to drink, so he doesn't do much to make a living. He occasionally copies classics for extra money, but finds it easier to steal instead. One of Lu Xun's classic lines is, "Taking a book can't be considered stealing. It's taking a book." This line is difficult to translate because Kong Yiji is playing with two different characters that essentially mean to steal. The first character is used frequently in literature, and given Kong Yiji's scholarly background, this is the word he prefers. The second character is commonly used in spoken Chinese. An article on danwei.org entitled Kong Yiji and the Question of Computer Piracy compared today's computer users in China who use pirated software to Kong Yiji from Lu Xun's story. In an attempt to stem software piracy, Microsoft included some code that would black out the screen of users with pirated software. Just as Kong Yiji insisted he was not stealing, many people in China fought back and stood up to self-righteously defend their own actions, though they were surely wrong. Kong Yiji eventually gets a life-debilitating beating for stealing by having both of his legs broken. He is reduced to dragging himself by his two hands, and his livelihood of stealing is taken away. He eventually dies. Looking back into Lu Xun's childhood, we again find parallels between his story and his past. The character of Kong Yiji is based out of one of Lu Xun's uncles, Zhao Ziqing, who lived in the